this is the beginning of that journey he made to the cross. And growing up, I used to look forward to the dramatization of this period in the church. I grew up in close to a denomination that is known all over the world, and they usually just demonstrate what happened. And in those days, which was way pre-COVID, they sometimes will get a donkey and get a man sitting on it. They will spread clothes and then spread palms before him, and there will be a procession from one end of the street right up to the church. And even though I wasn't a practicing Christian then, I just loved the drama of it all. I go with them, and there's always food and drinks. And it was just so joyful and so wonderful that you realize later that that precedes his suffering on the cross, his rejection. And we have various accounts of it in the gospel, in Luke chapter 19 and Matthew chapter 21. I'll read chapter Matthew's version, chapter 21 from verse 1. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and a foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" And that question is still being asked today. Who is this? Who is Jesus to you? They eventually rejected him. And John put it like this in his gospel. He said he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. They rejected him. He said, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the ability to be called the sons of God, to them that believe on his name." And that takes me to my message today, that in receiving him, we gain some privileges. And last week, I started talking about the two privileges we receive. One of the privileges, the privilege to trust him. And I explained that last week, that it's actually a privilege to trust God, to have faith in him. Not everyone is given that privilege. But the second thing I said, and which I was going to talk about today, is the privilege of suffering for him. So I'll quickly go into that today. I'll go back to that scripture that I quoted last week, our text, which is Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him." I'll read it from the Amplified Translation. It says, "For you have been granted the privilege for Christ's sake, not only to believe and confidently trust in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And so you are. And so you are experiencing the same kind of conflict which you saw me endure and which you aim to be mine now." Philippians 1:29-30. So we talked about the privilege of trusting him, that it's wonderful to be able to trust God, to be able to hope in him. I talked about Abraham, that the scripture says against hope, he believed in hope. I think that's why Christians always have that resilience and that extra strength to endure, because we have a hope that transcends this world. And that privilege of trusting extends to suffering for him. Now, I don't think I know of anyone that delights in suffering. Probably Paul, because he said he wants to fill up the sufferings of Jesus. He said he delights in infirmity. He delights in suffering. But for most people, and I count myself amongst that number, we don't want to suffer. In fact, the gospel that I grew up in, with, the gospel that I believed in, taught me that when I belong to Christ, then I no longer need to suffer. That gospel tells me that when I believe in Christ, it sort of takes me out of the equation of suffering in this world. And I was taught scriptures like Psalm 91 that says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. And one of the popular verse that we held on to in those days says, 1,000 may fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand. It says, but it shall not touch you. It says, only with your eyes will you behold and see the recompense of the wicked. So we hold on to that and say, when suffering is going on all around us, we will be protected from it. I've had messages quoting that when the punishment came on Egypt, Israel didn't suffer with them. So you have this idea that immediately I come to Christ, all my problems are solved. I do not need to face any hardship. And I'm just going to breeze through life on a cloud. But as you grow and develop in your Christian faith, you begin to realize and understand that this is not really true. I mean, there was a teaching in those days called positive confession. So if you make all these positive confessions, then no negative thing can come into your life. But we see in scripture, actually, that one of the privileges and one of the things we go through as Christians is suffering. Just like Jesus suffered on the cross. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 verses 7 to 8 had this to say later. He says, for what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I'll come back to that. To suffer means to be affected or to have been affected, to feel, to have a sensible experience or to undergo. We go through suffering. To have experienced it means to have suffered through it. I've said before on various occasions that growing up, I suffered hardship and privation because of the economic situation, the fact that I lost my dad when I was 3 years old and my mom had to raise five of us on her own. But as I grew older, things got better. And I remember the first church I pastored. And one day I went to greet one of the parishioners. I went on a visit. And when I got in, this was in the days where there was no mobile phone. So they didn't have a foreknowledge that I was coming. And I got there and I saw them eating a meal that I can only call a meal of suffering. The kind of meal I used to eat when I was younger. But at that point in time, because my circumstances had changed, I was shocked by what I saw. Basically because I was no longer experiencing that kind of privation in my life. And I'm giving that example just to say that to suffer means to experience something. to go through it or to be going through it. Now, I need to say something here. That true suffering for Christ is not the daily earthly difficulties or life experiences we all go through from time to time as a result of living. For instance, from time to time, we fall sick, as everyone else does, whether they are Christian or not Christian. Sometimes, from time to time, we may suffer financial hardship and difficulty, sometimes because of the economic situation or the reality of what's going on. For instance, right now, a lot of people have lost their jobs through no fault of theirs. They've lost their businesses. And sometimes due to our own poor financial management, we go through that. We go through different things. Yes, they are painful. They are suffering. But they are not suffering for Christ. It can help us through them. But that's not suffering for his sake. True suffering for God's sake is suffering that comes about because we are Christians. Because we made a choice. And James put it this way. He says, dear brothers and sisters, in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, when troubles of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested and your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's James 1, 2 to 4. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 and 12 to 16, had this to say. He says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you are finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. From verse 12, he says this, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's life affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. So we see that suffering comes. Suffering privation sometimes becomes suffering for Christ, because if you choose not to do anything negative or anything against the principles of God's word, to take yourself out of that suffering, then at that stage it becomes suffering for Christ. In the early church, it was their expectation to suffer for Christ because of the persecution going on. And in so many parts of the world today, people are still suffering because they are Christians. In Nigeria, so many people have gone through kidnappings. But one that still strikes a chord with everyone and with me all these years later is the 15-year-old girl, a Christian, who was kidnapped with other people. And she chose, when the chips are down, to insist on her faith in Christ. And as a result, the people concerned refused to release her when they released the others. And she's been in captivity all this while. And recently, the parents and Nigerians heard that she's now had a second child in captivity. It's a rumor, it's not confirmed, but that's what it says. And when I hear such things, it touches my heart, it hurts me. I ask questions. But that takes me to something I need to say to round up this morning. When we do the right thing, we sometimes feel that because we have done the right thing, we do not have to suffer pain for it. After all, if I do what is right, I shouldn't be condemned or have to suffer for doing right. that is not always the case. I had an experience recently that brought that home to me again. We went to the what we call the corner shop or the African shop, and we bought some items. And one of the things we bought was a fish that was quite expensive, but which I enjoy and I like, and we bought it on that occasion. But when the cashier was tallying up what we bought, he omitted the fish. So when we got home, my wife looked at our bill and thought, well, this is, I felt that this bill should be higher than this. And then when she went through it, she discovered that we hadn't been charged for the fish. So I said I have to go and return it. She said, oh, do you have to return it tonight? I said, yes, I need to return it tonight. So I took the fish, took the bill, went back to the store and said, actually, you didn't charge us for this. And he said, oh. And he was so surprised, so shocked. He was so happy. And I paid for it. Then on my way back home, I had a slight accident in that it was quite dark. There were two cars and there was not enough space. So I tried to squeeze through and then I hit the cab. And because of that, two of the alloys on my car got badly scratched. And it's going to cost me about three or four times the amount of the fish that I went to return. And I was so upset when I got home. I was so upset. I thought, God, but I did the right thing. If I hadn't gone back, I wouldn't have had this crown on my car. I wouldn't have to pay this so much amount of money. And immediately I began to think to myself, what have I done that has offended God that is making him allow me to go through this? Is it because someone asked me for something and I started thinking, I started trying to make what we call restitution? And then all of a sudden I paused and I said to myself, are you saying now that because you did what is right, there's no price to pay? There's nothing that should go wrong. Everything should be fine. And I said, no, by no means. Regardless of what it costs me, I should always do what is right. Knowing what I know now, knowing that if I had gone back that night, I would have that accident and that will happen to me, will I do it again? And my answer to myself is, yes, I will do it again. Because I will gladly and willingly pay a price for doing what is right. Suffering for Christ is suffering for doing what is right. Being ridiculed for your faith, don't be ashamed. Don't feel it's something strange. People have paid a worse price for believing in Christ. They've died, they've been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, in every area. But they stood for what is right. After all, the church is called the ground and the pillar of truth. Like Paul, we should be able to say, I am happy to suffer the loss of all things as long as I gain Christ. Because we're in the Western world, we are relaxed. The truth is that human beings, especially in the Western world, we've never had it so good. And I stand to be corrected. If you disagree with me, let me know. But things are so easy. A typical example, when I was growing up, if we're going to open a tin, or you get a knife and then bang it and then try, and a lot of times I've, in the process, been caught by the tin. But now I have a machine that in my house, I just put the thing, press that, and it just cuts it, and that's it. I have news on demand. I watch news when I want to, 24/7. I can record that. You see, there is so much ease. I can microwave food. I can go out there and get, what's it called, takeaway. Practically 24/7. Things, we are so used to ease and comfort that we don't like hearing the word suffering. It's not in our DNA anymore. But the fact is this, when you come to Christ, you have a lot of privileges. And one of the privileges is to trust him. The other is to suffer for. And at one point or the other, regardless of faith or belief or anything you want to talk about, we are going to experience suffering for Christ. We are going to experience the loss of things that we may gain Christ. I thought of that young lady there. One thing I believe with all of my heart is that regardless of what is happening to her body, she did the right thing. And that is going to be the most important thing when evil judges judge. When you do the right thing, he that judges, the scripture says that he judges the intent of the heart. My prayer for you is this, that in those moments when we have to choose to suffer the loss of things that we may gain in, that we will make the right choice, we will give the right answers, regardless of what it costs us. Because like Paul said, our present suffering can never be compared with the glory that is to come. Have a wonderful Holy Week, Palm Sunday. One of the things people do during this period is to fast and pray and wait on God, denying themselves of things physically so that they can grow closer to Christ. And we do that regularly here. But all I'm saying to you is that as we go through our Christian faith, expect that those times will come in life when we have to suffer the loss of things that we make in Christ. Thank you for listening. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.